Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. His promise still stands. Great is His faithfulness. We're still in His hands. Great is His faithfulness. Is that not a blessing? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God still stands and that we're in His hands, that He is in control, that He is still sovereign over everything? I don't think you believe it. Well, I tell you, after these last 7 weeks, today closes a message series that I have just been excited about studying about and preparing messages for. I think this passage of Scripture is going to be one of my favorite Scriptures of all time, here in 2 Peter chapter 2. But today's message wraps up, I think, an amazing look into how the Apostle Peter, who was inspired by God, tells us that when we add all of those amazing character traits to our faith, they help us live the godly life that God has called us to live. He not only tells us to do, but He shows us and tells us how to do it. And Peter shared that with us. And out of it, we get to experience the great and the precious promises of God, which culminates in today's message about the expected blessings that we can have from living a life of godliness. And I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way, or if you've stopped. You know, we talk about count your blessings, count your blessings. How many of you have ever stopped in a day to count your blessings? Raise your hand. Well, that's good. That's more than honestly I thought, because sometimes we go through our day and we might think, oh yeah, I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I didn't have to sit there at that red light. I'm blessed because I've got a house. And these are all blessings. You can name a lot of things, but there are many, many, many things at the end of our day when we look back on, we can say, that was a blessing from God. Even if it didn't answer your prayer, it could have been a blessing from God. Even if it didn't turn out the way you thought it should, it could be a blessing from God. We can look at our whole life. The breath that we breathe is a blessing from God. But God wanted you and me to know that no matter how dark or how dangerous the world may seem at times, His power has given us everything we need for the life of godliness. Friends, God is not deterred by signs of the times around us. Thank the Lord that He is faithful. That our day and our time, and I'm sure many people in their day and time from generation to generation, has said the same thing, that I can't believe it could get much worse than this. But God is still on His throne, and God is still operating in His divine power to energize our life, to help us live it to the full. So let's go to this passage of Scripture, hopefully not for the last time, but maybe you're still studying. Maybe you still, there's lots of stuff to unpack in this passage of Scripture, but maybe you'll take some time and do that. But today is the last message. Let me start 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. We've read this, and we've read a little further each week, so follow with us. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith or add to your faith virtue. Or moral excellence, as we called it in that message. Virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness or perseverance, if you will. and steadfastness with godliness or a Christ-like character, and godliness with brotherly affection, which we call radical kindness, not just be kind, but radical kindness, and brotherly affection with love. And we called it last week a selfless love. We can love a lot of people, but how often do we sacrifice to love people? And then reading on, for these qualities are yours, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten what he was cleansed from, his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all more diligent, and sisters, to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. I'm going to read that one again. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. A guarantee from Scripture. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Let me share this first blessing, which actually ended my message last week, and it's separate from the blessings that I believe that we can expect out of living in godliness. But here it is, that people in our lives who care enough to remind us to live a godly life. I don't know if you see people in your life as a blessing that way. When someone comes up to you, oh yeah, you reminded me, oh, that you're such a blessing. Have you ever thought about somebody who came up to you to remind you, to hold you accountable, to say, to care about you enough to say, hey, I don't want you going on the wrong road. Hey, that wasn't exactly kindness. Hey, I thought you were going to try to do this more. Sometimes we look at those people, it's like, yeah, well, I wish you wouldn't say something to me. But have we ever thought of those people as blessings from God? That God gave us somebody who cared enough about us, that loved us enough, that didn't want us to get off track. And they did it with love, and they did it with kindness. Let's choose to look at those people as blessings from God, and not with tongue-in-cheek either. Yeah, you're a blessing. No, they really are a blessing. So, and also, we need to be that for others. We need to do what Peter's doing to us. I want to remind you, as long as I am in this body, may I always remind you of how to live a godly life, to encourage each other to do so. When you leave each other, man, keep it up. You're doing a great job. That's an incredible act of kindness. That's living in godliness. Thank you for displaying moral excellence in my life. You're an example to me. Encourage each other with that. I also want to share these scriptures with you. John 13, it says, this one's not up there, but John 13 tells us that if we know these things, we will be blessed if we do them. If we know these things, we will be blessed. It's not just in knowing them. It's about doing them. It's about living godliness, not just thinking about living godliness, not just defining the words or the character traits that define what godly living is. It's actually, we are blessed if we will do them. And then Ephesians 1 says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when our time on this earth will be up. But we do know that we will be blessed if we repeat and remind and we live out and we help others do the same. These godly traits, we will all be blessed. Would you pray with me? God, Father, thank you so much for reminding us. I want to thank you now, God, for the people in my life that have the courage to come to me and say, listen, I think we need to talk about something. I think I saw you do this, and really that's not what you should do. Or I heard you say it this way, and maybe it could have been said a different way. Or I just want you to know, brother, that I'm praying for you, and I'm encouraged by your growth, and I want to encourage you to keep growing. Father, I want to count those people as blessings. Father, and I pray that we all can. Thank you for your word that is alive and is active and meant to give us everything we need to live the life you called us to live. And Father, when we fall because we're not perfect, you give us the grace to carry on. So I thank you for that. May we all open our hearts today to embrace that this is all a blessing from you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. So what I want to do is I want to pull out 7 blessings that we can expect from God immediately and in the future for living a godly life, for building these traits into our lives in increasing measure, intentionally, not just by happenstance, but intentionally. So the first blessing that we can gain is godly maturity. The first is increasing godly maturity that comes with adding to our faith. We mature as we actually add it to our faith. We are called to more than just to have faith, but to have a growing faith. We need to devote ourselves to growing deeper, to growing wider, to growing richer in our faith. God wants the same for you and me, an abundant life, life to the full. Peter said that all these things can belong to us. All of these things can belong to you. You can take possession of them, he says. But also, when you take possession of them and they become ingrained and second nature and habit, then they've taken possession of you. You ever thought of it that way? That I'm gonna take possession. I'm going to take kindness I'm going to take control of kindness in my life. But then after we keep doing it, it becomes natural, and kindness has actually taken over our life. Church, God needs mature people in an immature world, because without mature people, society would descend into chaos. Some would say that we're already there, and in some ways, that would be true. But that's why it's important for godly people, those who trust in the Word of God and trust in God, those who place their faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ and are followers of Christ, we need, for the world's sake, to grow in godliness. Not in judgment, not in condemnation, but godliness. And then let our actions and let our words be an example to the world. We need more mature followers of Christ. And as you develop this maturity, which only comes from time and experience, it doesn't happen overnight. It gives you a vision and takes you beyond where you are today. It's for the future. As you live today and grow in today, it prepares you for the vision of the future. And we don't know what that is. We know we have goals. We have action steps in our lives. We have dreams. But we don't know the future, and it can take a turn anytime. We can plan, but let's get on with God's and align with Him in the steps that we need to take. Listen, we also can't confuse maturity with perfection, because they're not the same. Qualities that lead to maturity are ever expanding, ever increasing. We can always find a new place to grow into with a deeper faith, a stronger courage. You will never perfect them, though, this side of heaven. And some of us sit here and we are perfectionists, that we got to get it just right. But when you make that the reason to do it instead of because I love God, then you get to do them out of duty and not out of I love God and I love people and I need to become more godly. There will always be more knowledge. There will always be more perseverance. There will always be more kindness that we can grow in. 2 Peter 3 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. May it be so. Blessing 2 that we can gain from adding these traits into our life and walking in godliness is growing productivity. Peter said in verse 8 that if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Christ. So a lot of us sit around and we're ineffective or we're unproductive. You ever felt that way in your life? Well, these things will keep you from that. But listen to how the New Living Translation tells us this same message. 2 Peter 1:8 in the New Living Translation. I love it. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the difference? One version says it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. But then the New Living Translation says it will make you more productive and useful, and you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us has special gifts and talents and passions and opportunities and assets for God's kingdom. Are you using yours for God? Are you using them effectively? Are you allowing God to use you for His glory? How many of us are doing nothing right now for the kingdom of God and what God has blessed us with? We all sit here, some of us, with untapped abilities. Abilities that you know you have, a bent in life, and you're not using for God's glory, for His church, for His kingdom, to reach the world, to share the gospel. You have qualities in your life that you are not using for God's glory. And we said that we belong to God, right? Every bit of us, our thoughts, our heart, our actions, all those skills, they all belong to God. And He's calling on us to use them for His kingdom's sake. Church, these qualities we add to our faith will shape us into fruitful and effective servants for the kingdom. As God works in us, developing us into mature believers, He will then work through us so we can be blessings to others. And you've heard it say, God blessed you so you can be a blessing. It's not just for you. You know, I don't believe there's anything that God gives us that's just for us. He gives it to us because He wants to reward us. He wants to bless us. He's happy with us. We're His children. But His intention is to reach the world through us. And so I believe everything that God passes to me as a blessing is not just for me. And I've got to be willing to let go of it for someone else at any time. And you know what else happens? That becomes a blessing as well when I get to help somebody else. Or when God gets the glory from using me to help someone else. That becomes a blessing in my life as well. Peter tells us plain and simple, the more you grow in this way, the more productive you will be. And there is no age limit to our growth and our productivity. Some of us think that we've reached it. It's time. I'm retired. I don't have to do that anymore. Someone else can pick up the mantle, the baton, and carry it. And there are times for that. But God is never done with us. Never done with us. Some of us, you may sit there today and say, oh, well, I don't know what I could offer the church. You come in my office, we'll figure it out. There are lots of places to serve in God's church and in this community. And if you want to make an appointment with me, don't just show up. If you want to make an appointment with me, I would love to sit and talk to you and help you figure it out. But here's what you have to come with: an open and a willing heart. An open and a willing heart to do whatever God asks of you. Psalm 92 says, and this is not on the screen, but I love this verse. It says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Do you feel fresh and green, some of you? Sometimes I don't feel fresh and green. I turned 56 this year, and I don't feel fresh and green. Like this morning when I woke up and put my feet on the floor, it's like, oh my goodness. My son loves making fun of me when I wake up in the morning and I start walking on the floor because my legs are just sore. But I love it. You will still bear fruit in old age. That's God's intention. He's never finished with us until we're with Him in heaven. We always have a purpose. He always has a plan, and we should never stop growing. My goal is to never stop growing or putting myself in a position to serve God and mature and experience the blessings He has for me. I pray, and I know, and it's in me, and I hope that my body is able to, that I don't plan to ever retire from doing church work, from serving the church, whether it be part-time or for free. I pray one day that I can do that. I would love to continue to serve in the church and serve God's church in that way until the day that He calls me home. But it won't happen if I don't continue to apply God's word to my life and my life to be used however God chooses. See, we get all protective of our lives as we get older and say, well, I only want to do this now, and I only want to do this now. Instead, we should continue to say, however you can use me, God, whatever you want me to do, I know you will give me what I need to do what you've called me to do. Hard or easy, God, I'm yours. Luke 11 says, He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Hear the word of God and obey it. Those are the people who are blessed. Blessing 3, you get greater clarity from walking in godliness. When our focus of our life is to become more like God, we start thinking like God, we know His character, we know how He would act, we know what He would do, we know how He would think. And that, and the verse 9 of our text tells us that the person who lacks these qualities is short-sighted and blind. That's not clarity. Short-sighted people have a hard time seeing how to live, how to speak, how to act, what values to hold, and what opinions to express. They are blinded by immaturity. The more mature you get, the more wise you get. You know when not to open your mouth. Or you should. Have you ever had an eye exam to be fitted for glasses? Have you ever just had an eye? I mean, I don't have normal glasses. I got readers, but I've had an eye exam. Well, have you? They lock your head in this contraption and give you something to look at and look through. And they keep clicking this dial until things become clearer, right? Wow, it's coming to focus. That's what these qualities do in our lives with God. As we grow in them, oh, I did kindness today in increasing measure. Click. Oh, now I know what God means. If you do these things in increasing measure, it's like that. You get a clearer vision of what God wants in our lives, what He wants. And it's not the same for everybody. We have the general things that we're supposed to walk in as followers of Christ. But God has a special plan for each of us. And it's not exactly the same as someone else. And we got to stay growing in godliness and then click. Oh, I see God. It's coming clearer now. Click. Oh, my goodness. That is really getting clear to me now. That's what these qualities do. With each increase of each of these character traits, we see clearer who God is and how God wants us to be and what He looks like in our lives. God's direction and the path He wishes us to take. And as we walk in godliness, we gain understanding of how God works. It's also seen by faith and understand that God is working things for our good and the good of those who love Him and obey Him. Because even sometimes in tragedy, sometimes in trial, sometimes in trouble, sometimes in suffering, we get a little blinded again. We get a little blurry again, and we have to go back to truth and say what I said just a few weeks ago, to have faith in the dark about the things that God has shown you in the light, to trust Him that these things are still true. Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Have you prayed about God's word before like that, or just went into reading it? When I go to study a passage like this passage here at the beginning, I'll say, God, I'll pray about it first. I'll pray about that scripture passage. I'll read it, and I'll pray about it. I say, God, I want to know what you want me to know from this passage. I know there's much to learn, but I need to know right now, God, what you need me to know and what I need to give your people. That's how I pray for scripture passages before I start writing the message. God, I don't want to just speak I could get up here and say lots of words. I do. I know I go long sometimes. But I want to know what God wants me to share. I want to first know what God wants me to grow in this, what he wants for me, and also what he wants me to share. Psalm 119:37 says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. You ever prayed that? Lord, this is what your word says. This is what I hear. But I know there could be things that get in the way. Protect me from that, Lord. Keep those things away. Keep my eyes from worthless things. Keep me focused on you, God. Preserve my life according to your word. And Psalm 118:20 says, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. See, once you see clear what God wants you to see, it's what it is. Because God can't do anything less than marvelous. Greater clarity also helps us look forward to when Jesus returns. 2 Peter 3:11 through 14. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You're longing for it, says. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, are you looking forward to this, church? Okay, wake up now. Are you looking forward to this, church? Make every effort then to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4 says, so we fix our eyes. You've done that before. You ever looked at something you couldn't take your eyes off of? Katie, I know it's Daryl. Yeah, you're patting him. You can't take your eyes off your husband. I just know that. We all can say that, right? Yeah. So we fix our eyes. That there's nothing that's going to turn them away. Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. On heaven, on God. Since what is seen is temporary, all that around us, but what is unseen is eternal. This is just temporary. God is going to rescue us from all of this one day. Blessing 4. This is what I know that I am thankful for from walking in godliness because I lose so much all the time. A grateful memory. In 2 Peter 1:9, it also says that not having these qualities leads to forgetting what we have been cleansed from, our past sins. How many of us have sinned, been forgiven, and went back and did that sin again? Yeah? It didn't last very long. We forgot, right? We had that short memory going on there. When we diligently seek to grow in Christ-like character, we will never lose the delight of what's happened to us. There are many things we need to get over or lose sight of in our lives, but we never, never want to lose sight of what God has done for us and what Jesus died for. God can heal our bad memories, but we should always remember when he met us on our Damascus road as he met Paul, when he washed our sins away, when he cast away our shame, and when he gave us grace that we didn't deserve. We should never get over that. We should never forget that. James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Blessing 5, increasing these characteristics in our lives in increasing measure, we gain genuine stability. 2 Peter 1:10 says, make every effort to confirm your calling and decision, right? I want to read to you what the J.B. Phillips version of this passage of Scripture says. I love it. It says, set your minds then on endorsing your conduct, the fact that God has called and chosen you. In other words, God has chosen and called me, and it's confirmed and affirmed by my conduct. I live like heaven is today. I live like heaven is right now. My heart, my mind, my eyes are fixed on heaven. So therefore, it determines my conduct here. Peter wasn't telling us that we can work our way to heaven. That's not what he was saying at all. He was merely saying that those who profess their faith outwardly should also confirm their testimony by the way that they live. Confirm your testimony by the way that you live. He saved you. Act like you're saved. He rescued you. Act like you're rescued. Be grateful. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." If you don't do these things, then you are blessed. But also this way, your delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Oh, I love that. Why can't I stay in that? When we grow in the traits of godliness, our conduct begins to match our creed or our beliefs. You confirm your faith by your faithfulness, church. And it brings stability into our lives. Nothing can shake us, because nothing can shake the Lord, and our faith is in the Lord. So therefore, if you're following and walking in godliness, you cannot be shaken, because nothing can surprise him, for he is omniscient. He knows all. He doesn't say, "Oh, I didn't think about that." He knows it before it's going to happen. Nothing can worry him, for he is Lord of all. As we grow in godliness and as we become more and more like him, we will experience greater stability to hear in our mind and in our soul. Blessing number 6, guaranteed security. 2 Peter 2:10 tells us, 2:10 tells us that we do these things, we will never stumble. Peter didn't mean that we will never make a mistake or commit a sin. No, that's not what he meant. He meant that we never have to worry about whether we are going to heaven or if we're truly growing in these qualities, because they will never fail us. You ever, and I had somebody tell me this just this past week, they said, "You know, sometimes I just don't feel God. I just don't feel God near me." I said, "Okay, do you believe his word?" "Oh, yeah, I believe his word." "Does it say that he'll be with you?" "Yeah, it says that he'll be with me, but I don't feel it sometimes." I said, "Well, the first thing you check," and I say this, you know, I've had these conversations, I mentioned to you, with my boys, and they call me and something's going on, and the first thing I do, I don't say anything else. I don't say, "Well, why'd you do that? Well, tell me about your problems." I said, "Wait a minute. Are you in God's word? Are you praying? Are you serving? And are you tithing?" Those are the first 4 things I tell my boys. And after that, based on the answers they tell me, then we have a conversation. I listen to them. I want to hear their troubles. I want to help them. I'm their father. I want to help them any way I can. But then there's sometimes, based on their answers, they say, "Well, I'm telling you what. This is what I believe out Scripture. You have to decide that when we do these things, God is near us. It doesn't matter if we feel it, because most of the time we've stepped out of that posture. Or we've got a sin in our life that's unconfessed. Or we have an attitude that we need to get rid of. These things cause us not to feel close to God. God is always there. God is always willing. God is always ready, even with his arms wide open, waiting for his prodigal son or daughter to come home. He is always there. As we progress in our faith, we become assured that God doesn't go anywhere and that heaven is real and it's waiting for me. If you truly repented of your sins and trusted in the complete work of Jesus on the cross, listen, believe in his resurrection from the dead for your salvation, then you are saved. There's so many people that something bad happens to them, or they do something, "Well, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know," you know, they question their salvation. God told you that. If you trusted in the completed work of Christ and you're striving to walk in godliness, you are saved. God has saved you. And as you grow in Christ and walk in godliness, then you never have to worry about your salvation. The very growth you experience will provide you the reassurance you have been born again. If there's fruit hanging all over you, spiritual fruit, there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." I read that passage a little bit ago. It's true. You are blessed with so many things. One is that God is with you. Two, that you will actually be face to face with Him one day. Blessing number 7, glorious eternity. In 2 Peter 2:11, it reminds us, says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, Peter isn't telling us that we get into heaven if we build these qualities into our character, because we can't work our way into heaven. But he is stating that in diligence, add these spiritual qualities to our walk with Jesus, and our transition to heaven will be abundantly richer. Abundantly richer. In Revelation, it also says, those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. That's a glorious eternity. Friends, you have been through some storms in life, and there are still storms ahead. Guaranteed, there are still storms ahead. If we don't have these qualities and trust in God for His promises, then we are headed for troubled water without that which will balance us and steady us in those waters. Also, with all my heart, I so strongly encourage you, don't dupe people into thinking you have these qualities, and then through circumstances, when trouble comes, they really see that you don't have these qualities, because these qualities will bless us in so many ways of the things that I just spoke about. There needs to be more than meets the eye. Let the waters in you run deep with the character of Christ. Be diligent to add these qualities to your faith in increasing measure, and you'll be walking in godliness. Don't you want to say that? Don't you want to say that? I know what it is to be obedient to God, to walk in godliness, because I am building these things in my life, not to perfection, but you're maturing. And with each step of maturity, you see clearer, you become wiser. God is able to use you more in someone else's life to do His kingdom work. I want to close this message in this series with these words, and they were Peter's words. I just want to quote his words, and then I want to pray. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Did you get that? Both now, right here, as you're sitting here, He needs to get your glory. When you walk out the door and you got to go pump gas, or you got to go to the grocery store, or you got to go to your job, He gets the glory. When you're just driving, He gets the glory. When you're going through a trouble or you're helping somebody, He gets the glory, both now and forever. One of the things that will help us and remind us and help us desire to walk in these is gratitude. Are you thankful for your life? Are you thankful for the blessings? Have you stopped to count them and be thankful for what God has done for you? I pray that you will. So to Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Or may it be so. May it be so in your life, and may it be so in my life. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for these words that you inspired your child Peter to write. And he wrote for our benefit, that we would read them and know that this is important, that we have everything that we need to walk in a life of godliness. You have given us everything, God. You have not left anything out. You have not forgotten anything. You have given us everything we need. And now it's up to us. And you even supply blessing. And you even supply grace. And you even supply strength to help us along the way. You actually walk with us, Lord, as we strive to do this. You have provided everything. You haven't left anything out, Lord. May we trust in that. May our desire to please you be even stronger as we read your word and are encouraged by it, because you are always with us. Jesus, we thank you for showing us how to live the way our Father wants us to live. You were an example of that, and your life was written down. And so we thank you now, because we know you're in heaven. We know you're preparing a place for all those that would follow you. But while we're here on earth, we give us the grace and the strength that we need. We know that you endured the cross. You endured the road to the cross. You endured the cross and you endured death. You rose again and have the victory. Therefore, we have the victory. So we thank you, Lord, for dying for us. We thank you that your blood was shed for our forgiveness. We thank you that the veil was rent and it opened up the way back to God. We thank you for reconciliation. And as we're reconciled back to God, may we also remember that we are to be reconciled back to each other. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. And so we pause right now to take communion, that which represents your body and blood, so that we will remember and never forget what you did for us. So we thank you for that now, and bless this communion now to your glory and to our remembrance. What a blessing you are, Jesus. Amen.